Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday, November 3rd. It's Friday. We're already into November, believe it. All the Christmas stuff's just started. It feels like it started late this year. For some reason, it hits in October, and this year, they're just getting started, like everyone was distracted. But anyway, it's here, it's coming, and we're going to come with it. So today, I have a bunch of questions, really good questions, things to think about, especially now during this time of year when we see more people than we normally see. We see a lot of family members we don't normally see. We're in situations that are great situations, and we wonder why we feel certain things. So here's one of my first questions today from Miri, and she says, I have a question for this week on Friday. I notice that in good situations and also stressful situations, I lose the connection to myself in the very moment. How can I rest in the moment? No matter if we're positively excited or if we are in a challenging situation, how do we take the moment and connect to us, to God, our center? Much love always, Miri. Well, that's actually a really good question. Sometimes we just have to trust that we're okay already, because we can't be always thinking of five things at one time. That's a lot of pressure to think, oh my God, I lost myself in the moment, or just be in the moment, just enjoy it. Just look around you, look at the people you're happy to see, look at the situations you're happy to enjoy. If it's a challenging situation, look at the issue. But there's at some point we have to step out of our heads and into life. Just to step into life, because we put so much onto how we feel in every situation, and we'll have time to do that afterwards. We'll have time to do it afterwards. You could always take an assessment and think about what has happened, but in this situation, when they say being in the moment, I remember once I was taking care of my kids and they were little, and I was still on the way my brain worked at work, where, you know, get this done, that done, that done, that done, and I'm mulling them around and taking them everywhere and making sure, you know, we're doing this and doing that. And one day I stopped, and I go, wow, you know what? This is the only place that I need to be in right now. I don't need to be anywhere else. I don't need to be out doing something. All I get to do is enjoy right now with them. Not rush them, not push them through, not make this happen or that happen. Just, if I go to the park, play with them at the park. Don't sit and watch them play. If I have them at home, let them join in helping with cooking or cleaning or whatever, but that we move as a unit, not as a mom and the kids all the time. And just that switch took me from not seeing everything to seeing everything. Just by paying attention to where I was, why I was there, being happy to be there. When we had issues or certain things happened that I wasn't really that crazy about, I jumped in and made decisions and made them quickly, so that we can all benefit from each other. And you need to benefit from yourself. You can't, you know, you're always connected to God, so don't feel like you have to be conscious of it. Let yourself get excited. Let yourself be happy. Let yourself be upset. We can't be cheap with our happiness, but we also can't be cheap with our angers. Because if we are, we'll never see either. But when we pay attention to what we are doing while we are doing it, we forget time, we forget everything else that we need to do, if anything, I've gotten way too much into the moment at this point. And sometimes I have to reel myself in because I've become really good at doing that. But just trusting. And that's how I learned to rest in the moment. Trusting that you're okay already. You will be okay no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you see, no matter why you see it. You are already okay. These are just like little directionals that say, hey, you know what? Great situation. Have fun. Hey, you know what? Tough situation. Pay attention to the details. Address the details. But we got to have a place where we can step out of our minds and rest a little bit. Because we just, I don't know where we got this, we have to put too much pressure on ourselves business. But boy, is it alive and well. But you can, even just as you're walking in and just say, you know, I love you, God. Thank you for this experience. And let it go. Pay attention to everything else other than yourself. And you will see yourself in that situation. It's like when you look at a problem and you look at the whole problem and you pay attention to just the problem. Then you see, hey, this is why I was attracted to it. This is what happened. This is why I needed to learn this. All of it comes to you, and it comes very quickly. But if you are like, oh, my God, now I have another problem, and how do I deal with this, and how do I stay centered, and how do I – you don't need to do any of that. Just pay attention to the problem. Get out of your head. And that way you don't take everything personally and it doesn't hurt and bother you all the time. Because we have to survive. So I hope that helps you. I hope it helps all of us because I know we're going to be in situations where like, oh my God, I'm seeing Uncle Jed again or something like that and he's going to say this or, you know, I'm in a really great place and I'm receiving an award. Let me take that in. Let me truly thank people. Let me feel what they felt towards me back to them so that we can grow. All of us can grow. Whatever it is, your kids do something, them, you do something you wish you didn't do. Separate yourself from the problem enough to see and then take action. When it's a great situation, just enjoy it. Let yourself enjoy it. I'm so happy to be here. I want to see everything that's here. I want to meet everyone. Let yourself enjoy. Let yourself feel the challenge to challenging situations. We're here to feel all of that and to learn from all of that. So you don't have to think about how you'll be in those moments. Just be. Just be in those moments. Pay attention to the others, and it will bring you right into those moments. And you'll be shocked. You'll be going, wow, I've seen this person forever. I never knew this about them. Chances are probably never asked. Not funny. Really think about that. Okay, I'm going to go on to my next questions. I did have a question from on the page from Christopher Cedre, who asked me what color Christ's eyes were. The first time I saw Christ, I never saw his eyes. His eyes were closed and his mouth was closed, but he was like, you could see him looking right at you. But it was really just the vision of letting me know who was there. But the mouth didn't move like our mouths to talk, you know, like the way our mouths move to talk to me. It was completely a different story. It was just so easily happening, but for him to just come up and all I remember is eyes closed, mouth closed, kind of a lighter olive-colored skin, hair that was like a light brown but gold. It was lit so it looked gold and yet white on white on white. So it's like you see all these different dimensions all at one time. And then the white cloth folded in towards his neck. And I only saw him from the waist up, and his left hand was underneath his right, and I only saw up to there with all this cloth, and not the eyes. So I can't tell you what color the eyes are, because I don't know. So anyways, good question, because when we think of seeing Christ, or like when he brought me and I was before God, God was just light. It was just a wall of light. you knew it was God, you knew what was there, but holy cow. But then with Christ, it's just that, it's like almost like not a facade, but just a recognition, a way to recognize. So yeah, no color of eyes. I didn't see teeth. His ears were covered with hair. I didn't see ears. But I saw the face. I saw like the eyebrows, the hair, the hands, and the cloth. You know, so it's interesting that that's what I saw, but that's what I saw. So, okay, now I've got another question, and these are anonymous questions. And this one, imagine you guys if you were in this position. I saw something I shouldn't have. I bumped into a couple screwing around, and everyone thinks they're just friends. Why would God want me to see something like this? I know they're just human like everyone else. I felt that I already knew it. How do we place these incidents into our lives? Oh my gosh. How many times have we seen things we shouldn't have seen? Actually, in a weird way, not many. But when we do, we sure as heck wish we didn't know. And a lot of times we wish we didn't know, because now what do we do with this information? They know we know. And now they're going to want to come up and try to fix it or tell us to not say something or whatever. But there's a reason why you saw them. And believe it or not, it was more for them than it was for you. When people walking around and try to misrepresent themselves, God wants them to see them. And you are probably the most least threatening person to see them. But they had to see themselves, and your job was for them to see them, so that they can see them, so that they can go back in life and come clean, not only to themselves, but to others. Because the fact that they have to put on the facade of just friends took away their freedom. And if people really want to be together, they need to, you know, poop or get off the pot. But there isn't an in-between. When lies are involved, there isn't a half of a lie. There isn't a part of a lie. But you were there to reflect. And I would take that as a position of power in terms of my self-worth, in terms of my self-strength. That God trusted me to do that job. Remember that God sees us through each other. He talks to us through each other. Sometimes we walk in on a conversation and we're like, oh my gosh, why did I hear that? Usually we're the most detached person. But a lot of times we help each other by seeing each other. And these two are not lying to anyone as much as they are lying to each other. And there's something very weird that happens in cheating situations. You know, we're all, you know, in a interesting way, repulsed by cheating. But it's not because we don't like or like the people that we know cheated. It's that the energy of cheating, the energy of cheating is such a low energy exchange. It thrives below the belly of a lot of pain to a lot of people, to children, to spouses or boyfriends and girlfriends, to us not believing that people are true or real to the relationships they're in. All this stuff starts coming like, wow, how do I trust who I'm with? And why do we have to live in a world we don't trust? And it makes you realize that nothing is as it seems, and all these other really just barely there able to survive energies, and they survive on so little that these people are willing to accept this kind of energy in their lives. And you showed them. You showed them that, hey, you know what? Pay attention to what you're doing. I'm not going to hurt you. I don't care. There's nothing I can do for you. I can't change what you've done. I can't change the effect on your families. I can't change any of that. But a lot of times, people who are in those situations don't see them. They get caught up in the moment. Or their own self-love stops, so they start lateralizing. They start going out and finding somebody who will accept them in that way and exchange that kind of energy with them. Once in a while, you'll meet people where it's true love and they have to detach from their lives and they didn't know how to do it. But for the most part, the energy that's being exchanged is not something you want. So why do these incidents get placed in your life or in our lives? It's just to remind us to appreciate. Sometimes, you know, there's people who walk around and they're like, why am I not with somebody? And you feel like you're missing something, and then you see that. And you go, you know what? If I'm with somebody, I really just want to be with someone I can trust. And you realize trust is very important to you. Instead of feeling bad that there isn't something, but having criteria, building in standards to what you will accept for yourself. Because a lot of times we will accept stuff we normally wouldn't. Sometimes people get into a cheating situation and it actually helps heal the existing relationship once it comes out. Because both parties will realize that they probably didn't pay enough attention to their relationship for this to have happened as well. Because everybody gets cheated, whether the people who are being cheated on know it or not. You can only truly ride one horse at a time. You can only mentally focus on one human being at a time, and even that might be a lot. People who try to lateralize or try to spread it all out, they're giving less here and less here, and nobody's getting the whole person. I had a couple long time ago this one was, and the man, when they first met, told the woman that the only thing I would never accept in a relationship is cheating. And she said, you know what, neither would I. And they both agreed on that. And then she found out later that in one of his marriages, he was cheating on his wife. And it really bothered her because now she thought, wow, he knows what it feels like to cross the line, and he crossed the line. And so then she started thinking he was going to cheat on her and she would never know either. And what happened was, and thank God for conversations, hard conversations, but she brought it up to him. And she said, you know, I know you said this, however, I've come across this information from people who knew you, that you cheated on your wife before. And he said, yes, I did. And he owned it. He said, that's why I won't accept cheating. Because the person I was, the person who did that, I grew away from. I don't like who that person was. I was really messed up to have done that. I chose to stay in my relationship because there were more benefits than leaving. So I basically used that person And I hate the way I feel for having done that to anybody. So he learned the hard way. But the important thing was that he learned. He learned. And that's why when he meets someone, he will say, I will accept anything but that, because he knows what it entailed for him to take himself to that place. It's a very fine line initially when you look at it, but it becomes a huge divide when you actually jump into a situation like that. A lot of mental lines have to be crossed. And a lot of lies have to be told when it comes to your time. And now with texting, and I don't know if people still email, but texting or whatever it is we're doing. We have a very photographic world now. We see a lot of pictures, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things at one time. It's nearly impossible to keep track of yourself trying to do something like that now, including the fact that you saw them. It can never predict. Sometimes it happens with partners. You walk in on them in your home when you show up at a time you normally aren't there. That, you guys would not believe, happens a lot more than you would ever think it could happen. More people break up on that instance than any other in cheating circumstances. It was walking in on their partner in their own homes. I've seen marriages 30 plus years break up over that. And it's not the cheating alone, because the cheating is literally a symptom of many other things that are happening that have been unaddressed. And so the fact that they were unaddressed, they're getting addressed through this action. And a lot of times cheating isn't just sexual, it's emotional. It all stems back to emotional, because like Christ said, sex is not physical. And I remember when Christ said that to me, and I said, yeah, right, it's a physical act. Yes, it is. But if it were just a physical act, we would just be with anybody. We would not care who we were with. Sometimes the way I talk to people, I have had to learn to not say things like with all my love or love Nadia, or and I say that all the time, especially if I'm writing. I have had to learn not to do that because it gets misconstrued. And I really mean it, so I just have to trust that the person feels it. Because I really do love people in that way. But sometimes when you feel something and you say it, because we are not used to speaking that way, it gets misconstrued. But in cheating situations, people will not speak that way to each other in front of others. I was able to say that because I wasn't doing anything with anybody. But when people are in a cheating situation and they are out in public, they will go to great lengths and great extremes to not show that they are somewhat intimate. And they try to, and I want to say in quotes, act like friends, which is why you said, I know they're just human like everyone else. I felt that I already knew it, because energy precedes words. How many times has Christ said that? We all already know. So when you don't something that you won't do in front of everyone else, then you are free to give people hugs, to tell people you love them, to care about them, to laugh with them, to joke with them. And nobody will pick up that more than that is happening, because more than that is not happening. So energy is not preceding words. But when we have something to hide and we limit the interaction in front of others to try to pretend like nothing's going on, everyone will know something's going on and no one will be able to talk about it. They will sound like they're accusing people. The ironies of nothing is as it seems, and it never will be. Remember the woman that has the friend and she's always having those reoccurring dreams and they're never doing anything in the dreams. They're shopping, they're visiting family, they're having dinner, but she's so connected to this man and he's so connected to her. And every time they see each other, they hug each other and they tell each other they love each other all the time. And everyone in the gym for a long time just assumed these people were married that didn't know them. And they never did anything outside of that gym. They were never physical. Even till now, they have never been physical. So because they had nothing to hide, they were able to express because they had the emotional and energetic freedom to do so. If they had something to hide, anytime someone would say something to them, which a lot of people who did know them assumed they were having an affair, but then they realized the energy of hiding wasn't there. And then everybody just looked at them as these two people who love each other and care about each other and have nothing to hide, even though no one ever said, "Are you guys?" And it was going on behind their backs for a while. But it died down because when you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to hide. Energy is not preceding words in that direction because you are not in that direction. Now, let's say they walk in and they barely talk, but they might pass each other and look at each other or try to sneak in something. Somebody will see it. Somebody will say, "Oh my God, where there's smoke, there's fire." Because energy precedes words. Time and time again, we don't think that that happens. It's so interesting. I see Simon Swan in the chat, too. "It's all too easy for words to be misconstrued, especially when typed, because it's harder to convey tone." It is. And in that energy, because we are not used to speaking or seeing free love, love that has its freedom to be what it is, we immediately go to, "Oh my God, what does this person want from me?" It took a while for people around me that I meet to get used to being spoken to with love behind it and nothing else, or just even telling the truth about a situation. But the fact that you felt you already knew it is the biggest thing about this bumping into a couple screwing around that everyone just thinks is friends. No, everyone doesn't just think they're friends. The couple is trying to sell it, and other people are deciding whether or not to buy it because the energy isn't flowing in that direction. You are a reflection for them. You did them a big, big favor. We never see something we shouldn't have seen. If we saw it, there's a reason why we saw it. One, it solidifies us, and two, it gives them a reflection. You were a mirror. Because now they have to answer to themselves, "Well, how am I going to explain this? Should I tell my family? What should I be doing?" There you go, a million questions. So great, great question. Thank you for sharing it because, you know, we we run into these situations. So let's do our best. Day. I got 10 seconds left. I'll see you guys on Monday. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning.